Welcome to Classical Companion. I'm Diane Jones, and over the next weeks and months, I'll be chatting with artists and musicians and arts organizers throughout the region about the music they turn to in these challenging times. Today, I am speaking with Barry Torres. Barry Torres is the music director with Schola Cantorum of Syracuse. Barry, thank you so much for chatting with us and sharing your music with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Diane, and certainly thanks to Cornelia from the Cayuga Chamber Orchestra for suggesting this idea. I think it's a great one, and happy to share with folks music that I find meaningful, not just at these times, but just in general.
Yeah. Before we get to the music, and I am doing this with pretty much everybody, I just wanted to check in and see how you're doing and how the folks that are in Schola Cantorum are doing in these times.
As far as I know, we're doing okay. I haven't been in touch with folks too much, because this period is kind of our lull period. We're in between rehearsals. Believe it or not, our last concert of our season is on June 19th. So that may happen, as far as we know. So I've been in touch, you know, just peripherally, and everyone's doing just fine. Of course, I'm 136 miles north in St. Lawrence County. I live in Canton and teach at St. Lawrence University. And, you know, things are here as they are everywhere else. Everyone is being rather diligent about social distancing and doing the right thing. Up here, I don't know if this is the case in Onondaga County, but the sheriff's office sent out mass emails to everyone saying, please don't travel. So, you know, really hole up.
That's what we are hoping, is that everyone does that. And one of the things, though, that can bring us together as a community, even in these isolating times, is the music that we're sharing. And I love the list you sent me. There is such a variety of music on this. Before we talk about the specific pieces, what is it that you look for? You called it your playlist for hopeful listening. What is it you look for in this hopeful listening?
Well, a number of things. But in these times, music that brings comfort in a variety of ways, both in its message, because being a singer, of course, I'm most of the music on here is vocal, mm-hmm. and it does have text, but also in just how the music itself presents itself to the listener in very comforting and very introspective and meditative ways. I think that's pretty important. There's a gentleness, I think, to every one of these pieces that I think is important. Not just at this time, just an important period. Anyway, that's the basic idea behind the choosing of these pieces.
Well, let's just go down your list. Let's start at the top of your list. No surprise, you've gone for music of William Byrd.
Yes. The first three pieces on the list are early music pieces, of course, because that's who Schola Cantorum is. Mm-hmm. This particular piece by William Byrd, and it's a two-part, two-section motet from his collection Cantiones Sacrae, this large collection of motets, not necessarily liturgically oriented. As a matter of fact, they weren't. Most of these texts part of the liturgy, but they're sacred Latin texts, usually biblical, and this one is in particular from Isaiah, Ne iras caris Domine, and it has what seems to be that stern kind of affect that you associate with the prophets. You know, shame on you, Israel, for doing this, and the Lord is angry with you, etc. But the music belies a very different meaning, and I think it may actually, I think, get to the real purpose and import of these texts. This text is, and when folks go to the YouTube link, you can actually get to the text when you click on the show more, but this is, don't be angry with us, Lord, forever. You know, Zion is laid at waste, but there's a kind of gentle hopefulness in how the music itself sounds. And it's one of my desert island pieces, this one, by William Byrd. And it's sung by, I think, well, I shouldn't say this, but I will anyway. They are the best a cappella vocal group in the world right now, if you ask me. And they're called Voces 8. They're 8 singers singing a cappella in a beautiful setting. it's a piece that brings tears to my eyes every time I hear it.
Well, let's take a listen to it in this beautiful performance by Voces 8. I think you're right about that ensemble. They are just absolutely amazing. I mean, I might compare them in terms of skill to like Anonymous Four. They are, I think, that good.
Better. Sorry. I mean, and with no disrespect to Anonymous Four, but these are wonderfully matched singers whose technique is just remarkable, and they sing impeccably in tune, which is very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk about this next piece for us, the Ego Flos Campi, which is probably my terrible Latin.
No, your Latin's good. Ego Flos Campi is text from the Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon, some of the most remarkable love poetry ever written, right there in the middle of the Bible. in the Bible, in the section of the Bible known as the Wisdom Books, and that includes Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and then ends with the Song of Songs. And again, in some ways you don't even need to know what the translation of this text is, because the music so completely and clearly expresses the affect of this, which is, how shall I say, sacred sensuousness? I think that's a good way to describe it.
Hmm.
But it's incredibly peaceful and so beautifully sung by another remarkable English a cappella group, Stile Antico. And both of these groups perform without conductor. They are like Scola does now. We sing. We're an ensemble. I actually did this piece not only with Scola, but I've also done it with my group of my select choir here at St. Lawrence, the Laurentian Singers. And those singers who sang this piece, it was their favorite piece of the entire year.
Well, we'll see if it's everyone else's favorite piece. This is Stile Antico with Ego Flos Campi. An absolutely beautiful work. And you mentioned that the Laurentian Singers performed it. I think that is part of what brings us to music, is the memories that it evokes, the memories of time and place in which we experienced this music at some point.
Oh, absolutely. The alumni, the Laurentian Singers alumni, always talk about this being some of the most meaningful things that they did here on campus, and we tour every year, which is great. Yeah, those memories are very meaningful to them throughout their entire life.
Now, we have a work from Thomas Tallis next, again, kind of our three antique pieces, as it were. Talk about this work.
If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. This is a setting of text from the book of John, the Gospel according to St. John in the 14th chapter. It's a remarkable, the 14th and 15th and 16th and 17th chapters of John are a remarkable discourse of Jesus with his disciples, going over what's going to be happening in his coming passion, but also how his kind of like final teachings he leaves with them before he's leaving the world. And this is such a comforting piece, and it's so simple, and it's so well done by Thomas Tallis, probably the greatest of the early English Anglican composers. Thomas Tallis' career connected, so to speak, or spanned both a Roman Catholic practice into the Anglican practice. And it's so simply and easily done by another great a cappella choir. Really, I shouldn't say Voces 8 is any better than the other two, because these are three remarkable groups. And this one is Vox Luminis, based in Belgium, directed by Lionel Meunier. And they do it, when folks listen to it, you'll hear it done in its original pitch, which is for low men's voices. And then they will immediately go to how most people hear it these days, transposed up a fourth so that women can sing this. And it's just, it's another one of my Desert Island pieces.
Let's go to the Desert Island with Barry with If Ye Love Me. It is so interesting to hear these pieces as they were originally done and then hear them again, still beautifully done, but it's such a different sound when you get to that.
Oh, especially on human voices, when you have an all men's or ensemble sing something pitched a fourth lower than would be done by a normal SATB ensemble, the colors are remarkably different.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, our next work is one of your few instrumental works here on the list. Talk about this. And some of the folks I've been speaking to have been specifying performers, and you did specify the performer for this one as well.
Yes, I did indeed. And a name that's probably not associated with this composer, one of my favorite pianists, Glenn Gould, the crazy Canadian. He's an unusual human being, he was. And I have this recording of Glenn Gould playing the intermezzo in A major, Opus 118, number 2, of Johannes Brahms. Gould recorded a number of the late piano pieces of Brahms, back in the 1970s, I think. And they're just remarkable. We associate Glenn Gould mostly with Bach playing and the wonderful technical facility he has and the way he so clearly delineates the contrapuntal lines in Bach's music. He somewhat applies the same concept to this remarkable late Brahms piece. And the late Brahms piano pieces are, to me, akin to the late Beethoven string quartets, and actually the late Beethoven piano sonatas too. They're very introspective, very simple, and yet very meaningful. And again, this is I play this piece myself, and it's just a joy to play and to hear.
Here is Glenn Gould with the Intermezzo in A Major, Opus 118, number 2 of Johannes Brahms. I think there's such a depth in the simplicity of these works. You know, there's so much that comes out, especially with Brahms.
Absolutely. Brahms was the first composer I got to know.
Ah.
Yeah, he's really responsible for me being a musician. I'll never forget, as a sophomore in high school, my high school choir did the Brahms Requiem, and I was never the same after.
I don't think you're the only person to say that Brahms has changed them.
Yeah.
Now, the next couple of pieces, this is where I got a real kick out of you. The next couple of pieces on your list are definitely not something that that people would expect from you, I think. People are going to see, oh, Barry Torres, Schola Cantorum. What? Talk to us about these.
Well, I'd like to think that my tastes are really eclectic, and people in Syracuse know me as the director of Schola Cantorum, the highbrow early music group. But up here in St. Lawrence, I do all kinds of music, and I co-direct the gospel choir here. And as a matter of fact, I lead the gospel band, and I play piano in that ensemble. And that is just so much fun and so meaningful, and it's a very, very different genre. When I program for the Laurentian Singers Tour, I'm always going to the pop world. I started life off in the pop world, like most people do, and I still go there. I took a hiatus from that for a long time, from like the mid 70s through the 90s until my kids were in high school, and I really kind of got back into it at that point. But the next piece is Henry Mancini's Moon River, in a very unusual arrangement by the young, incredibly talented, and very eclectic Jacob Collier. He's an English young man. He's actually, I think he's 25 now, but he broke on the scene as a high schooler.
Really?
And he's a virtuoso performer on the piano, bass, drums, and a remarkable singer. But he's also incredibly fluid with technology. So, you know, the computer is his forte, is his instrument. And this particular arrangement of Moon River, he has combined over 100 voices, and he's done this on computer, mixing it down using the music mixing program Logic. And he won a Grammy this past, whenever the Grammys were, I think in January, he won a Grammy for this particular arrangement. It's about 8 minutes long. Be patient and go with the flow. It's just indescribable.
Let's take a listen. Jacob Collier's take on Henry Mancini's Moon River. have to say, when you sent me this list, I went to that YouTube link, and the video that goes with this is just, I can't get over it. And it's beautiful, and it's charming, and it's funny. It is exactly what you would think a 25-year-old prodigy really would come up with. I mean,
prodigy is the right word for him.
Yeah, that's not a word I throw around very often.
he's just, and there are other YouTubes of him. He did a workshop, an extended residency at MIT at one point, I think a couple of years ago. And it's just, he's such a wonderful human being.
Mm-hmm.
He's just honest and out there. He talks about his childhood and how his mother, encouraged him, et cetera, et cetera. It's just really remarkable. And he also has a very interesting YouTube on how he put together Moon River. It's an hour and a half long.
And that seems short with as complex as it was.
Yes. It's really remarkable. Yeah, the video. He doesn't do the video, by the way. He certainly acts in it and certainly does that, but somebody else puts the video together with him. So
And here's another very contemporary piece, a very pop piece. Talk about this one. Good old Dolly Parton makes an appearance.
Oh, Dolly Parton. She is a hero of mine.
Mm-hmm.
She really is. You know, there was one point in my life that I really hated country music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost ashamed to say that, because now I'm a real country music fan, and I certainly appreciate Ken Burns' recent foray into country music and the history of country music, in which Dolly Parton plays a large part.
Absolutely.
She's a first-rate musician, great singer, wonderful songwriter. We were to actually sing this piece. The Laurentian Singers were set to sing this particular arrangement on tour this year, which got canceled.
Yeah,
we were supposed to go to San Francisco in March, and that got canceled a week before we left. But this is a wonderful arrangement of her Light of a Clear Blue Morning. When you hear the text, you'll know exactly why this piece is on the list. And it's arranged by Craig Hella Johnson, the wonderful director of one of America's best choral organizations, Conspirare, based in Texas. Craig is also a composer, and we were also going to be doing the finale to his oratorio, Considering Matthew Shepard.
Oh.
Remember Matthew Shepard?
Yes.
Yeah. He's a great arranger, and he's done wonderful things to support and to encourage choral music here in the U.S. Craig Hella Johnson's arrangement of Dolly Parton's Light of a Clear Blue Morning.
Such a great arrangement. I'm so sorry your singers didn't get to perform it, but it's a marvelous work and a marvelous arrangement. And you're right, Dolly Parton is one of my favorite people. She's, for all the wigs and the makeup and the nails, she is the most genuine down-to-earth person.
And most people don't realize how hot a guitar and banjo player she is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With those fingernails, you just kind of go, well, how could she do this? Yeah, it's amazing.
It really is. Volchasek makes another appearance on your list with this next work.
Yes, Earth Song by contemporary American composer Frank Ticheli. Again, you'll hear the text to this song and you'll know why it's on the list. I've done this with the Laurentian Singers a couple of different times. It's a very effective contemporary American piece. Many contemporary choral singers know the work of Eric Whitaker.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like the rock star of American choral music. Very compelling music, really rich sonorities, just amazing stuff. Frank Tekeli is a more gentle version of Eric Whitaker, and this is a beautiful piece, and especially the ending will hopefully put you in a very sublime place.
Let's travel to a sublime place with Voces 8, Frank Tekeli's Earth Song. They really are just remarkable, and I love that music. And I'm so glad that especially choral composers are getting their due, contemporary choral composers, because it's a beautiful, beautiful arrangement there.
And Frank Tekeli also writes for band.
Okay.
Which is, I think, another genre that doesn't get its due. I love band music. I really do. I think the colors are so rich and vibrant.
Yeah, and it's very different. You know, we get so inured by the strings somehow. Everything is strings right now. So it's nice to have a little change there. Well, speaking of strings, though, speaking of strings, your other instrumental is a string quartet. Why is this piece on your list?
Okay. I think almost the height of American musical culture, Western musical culture, is reached in the late quartets of Beethoven. They're sublime, and they are otherworldly for every generation that confronts this music. It's highly spiritual, and nothing more so than this third movement from his string quartet number 15 in A minor, opus 132, It's the tempo markings are molto adagio and andante, and I'm talking of the Heilige Dankgesang, is what it's subtitled, the Holy Song of Thanks that Beethoven was inspired to write after recovering from an illness to which he could then resume composing. I really can't talk about this piece. You just have to listen to it.
Let's do that. Here's the Guarneri Quartet. Just a remarkable performance there by the Guarneri Quartet of that late quartet of Beethoven, the string quartet number 15 in A minor, the third movement there, the Molto Adagio. Beethoven seems to keep coming up on people's lists in one form or another.
Well, for good reason. If I had more time, I would have put some Bach on the list too, and if I could find performances that I really liked, Dufay also would have been on the list, but he's not. So apologies to early music folks about that. But if I can put in a plug for the Syracuse Friends of Chamber Music that is still going, I was introduced to the Guarnieri Quartet in that concert series way back in the 1970s and had the great pleasure of hearing the Guarnieri several times in Syracuse.
They are marvelous, and they are wonderful in the ensembles that they are able to bring into the region. Actually, I was able to talk to Travis Newton from Syracuse Friends of Chamber Music. So, yeah, it's an incredible arts community that we have here in Central New York. I was very surprised when I moved up here from Philadelphia. I did not realize just how incredible and vibrant the arts community in general, and especially the musical arts community, is in this area. I'm incredibly grateful to have organizations like Friends of Chamber Music and Schola Cantorum and everyone else here in the area.
Great. Thank you.
That leaves us an opportunity for talking about this last piece. And I'm looking at the performance that you put down here. I'm sure I know why it's special to you. Talk about this work.
Sure. Another great American choral composer, Morton Lauridsen. When you look at Lauridsen's music, you wonder why this music works so deeply on people. On the surface, it can be rather simple, but almost without exception, every time I do Lauridsen or listen to Lauridsen, I'm moved. Words just escape, but in incredibly deep ways. And he has a way with setting words that is just remarkable. I've done several pieces of his. Everybody, of course, has done his O Magnum Mysterium at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
But I just had a great opportunity to do his kind of short oratorio, Lux Aeterna, which was a requiem that he wrote for his mother, as his mother was passing on, for orchestra and chorus. But this is a movement from a series of choral pieces under the general title of Nocturnes. And this is a setting of the James Agee poem, Sure on This Shining Night, very famously set by Samuel Barber. But this setting, I think, eclipses the Barber in my estimation. So simple, and his gestures are so visceral and gentle. And to me, it's overwhelming music. And if I may say so, it's performed by the Laurentian Singers of St. Lawrence University under my direction, with my good friend and colleague, Barbara Phillips Farley, at the piano.
Let's take a listen. I'm so sorry that the Laurentian Singers couldn't do their tour this year, but this is from one of their other tours, Sure on This Shining Night by Morton Lauridsen. Absolutely beautiful, Barry. You and your students should be incredibly proud of that performance.
They are, and more than proud, though. It's as you said, they will remember performing this piece. And when we were on tour, it's great. We get to do this music, you know, 8, 9, 10 times, and it's a lot of fun. So that particular recording was from our home concert in our concert hall, the Peterson Cremani Performance Hall, at the end of tour, when we're back on campus.
That takes us through your list. It's an absolutely beautiful list, Barry, and we want to say a huge thank you for sharing it with us. Barry Torres, Playlist for Hopeful Listening. Before I let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to maybe leave us with some thoughts to help carry us through these times, either about the music or about being.
I'm reminded of a quote from Moses, "This too shall pass. This too shall pass." These are tough times. We have come through tough times before. I just, since we all have, seems to have a little bit more time than we used to, I just got finished watching the Ken Burns exploration of the Roosevelt family and was so inspired by how Teddy and Eleanor and Franklin led the nation through some very difficult times, especially Franklin and Eleanor. Being reminded of World War II and the Depression, those were tough times. And they led with such compassion and eloquence. I'm sure we can find, each one of us, our own compassion and our own eloquence to get us through. You know, from the beginning of the Depression to the end of World War II was 15 years, more than 15 years. And we got through it. And we were better for it. And I'm hoping that we all can take something from this, something very positive, and go forth. I must admit, you know, I've talked with neighbors now, because we're all getting out and walking, you know, out in rural Canton, New York. You know, we can keep our social distance and and talk to folks. I've talked with neighbors who I haven't talked to in months, and it's been such a wonderful, wonderful connection that we're making. So it's tough, but we can get through it.
We can get through it, and we can get through it together. Once again, Barry Torres, music director of Schola Cantorum of Syracuse. Barry, thank you so much for sharing your Playlist for Hopeful Listening with us.
Thank you, Diane, for doing this. This is just something that we all need. And thank you so much for the effort and making it happen.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. I love being able to stay connected like this. So anything we can do to stay connected, even as we are apart.
Absolutely.